My name is Andrew Kramer. I'm a reporter for the New York Times and the Moscow Bureau.
So the news comes at us, you know, like a water out of a fire hose these days. It may be easy to forget the demonstrations in Russia, the very brutal crackdown by Vladimir Putin, the imprisonment of opposition leader Alexei Navalny. You have conducted the first interview with him from prison. How's he doing and what is he doing?
Well, he seems to be in a fighting mood, as is typical for Navalny. He has been very, very optimistic. In this interview, it was a written interview, and he also described in quite a bit of detail his typical days in a penal colony not too far from Moscow.
What is he being forced to do each day?
Well, he's being forced to watch an extraordinary amount of television, and he described his day in his schedule in great detail. And there are five separate sessions of forced watching of television or movies or other content that the warden chooses, starting in the morning with short breaks and going until the evening.
How is he talking about how that affects him?
He certainly described how this is compulsory, that if somebody nods off, the guards will bark, don't sleep, watch TV. And he was describing how he gained some insights into the ideology of the Putin government by noticing how extensive the focus was on the past glories of the Soviet Union with war movies, for example, or sports movies from describing Soviet victories in the Olympics.
I understand you found him surprisingly upbeat. I'm not saying that you're surprised, but people may be surprised to read that. Is that because he thinks that Vladimir Putin's regime may not be much longer for this world?
Well, I think it's based on his idea about using the electoral system, even in a very authoritarian environment, such as in Russia, to create political change. And he has a strategy for doing this, a voting strategy he calls smart voting, which is designed around uniting the opposition to vote for even less than ideal candidates, but at least uniting the opposition around candidates in parliamentary election. And also the idea that because the emerging middle class in Russia hasn't historically supported pro-Kremlin parties, that there is, in fact, this large constituency that will want change. And that was the basis for his optimism.
Social media has been a big friend to Navalny and his cause, but is he able to use it much?
He does post on social media. This is through messages conveyed to his supporters who then post on his social media sites. So they are up and active, yes.
Is there some optimism that he'll get out of there? Did he talk at all about that?
No, he didn't. He talked about the risk that his sentence, which is now 2.5 years, could be extended through a violation of prison rules, that he might be provoked into a fight with an inmate, for example, and then be accused of assault. And in that way, his term would be extended. There is a new criminal case that's recently been opened against him, and this could extend his term as well. So for now, 2.5 years, but there certainly seems to be a risk that that would go on for longer.
He was poisoned, of course, and went to Germany for life-saving treatment, and then came back to Russia, perhaps knowing full well he'd be arrested. Did, in the course of the interview or your larger reporting, did he explain why he did that?
In the interview, he talked about the importance of being relevant in politics and of being visible. And he conceded that he had not been as visible in prison. And because of this, his ratings, as judged by opinion polls, had declined since his arrest in January. The choice that Navalny faced was exile or prison, and exile was not what he chose. And once again, looking back at some recent Russian history, politicians who've gone into exile have not remained very relevant in contemporary Russian politics.
What does he think the United States can do to better help his cause?
He was cautious about some types of sanctions which can harm the Russian economy overall and Russian people. And he conceded that any sanctions which are directly linked to his well-being are used by state media, by the government, to link him to foreign support, which is something that is used to denigrate him and his movement. So there is that risk. But he did say that what could help Russians and also send a clear message would be sanctions targeting kleptocrats, people he accuses of stealing the wealth of the country and being part of the government, the patronage network of the leadership. And that was his recommendation.
What else did you learn from Navalny that you'd like to share, either something unexpected or just something that caught your attention?
It was a very long written interview, and I have spoken with Navalny before his arrest and also read many of his statements and followed him closely for a long time. He's a man who very deftly uses humor. in all situations. And now he's in prison. He's shaven-headed, as he described himself, wearing a prison uniform under very tight control. But the humor nonetheless came through. In one instance, in response to a question of how likely it seemed to him that he would be murdered in prison, which is something that his supporters say is a looming risk, he responded with an expression that he said, "Let's live a little bit and we'll see," which is a Russian expression, something like, "Let's wait and see." So he was willing to have a light touch even with that question.
Are there other activists there in prison with him?
There are certainly prisoners in the Russian penal colony system who are considered political prisoners by their supporters and sometimes by international organizations. The scale is nothing like it was in the Soviet period, where you had thousands of political prisoners in the Gulag. There are, you know, maybe dozens, perhaps, falling into different categories for religious reasons they were arrested, or for political reasons, as in the case of Navalny. There are certainly some political prisoners in the Russian system today. That's right.
Do people in Russia remember Navalny and still long for a day when he can be free and try to lead that movement again in a more active way than he can right now?
Well, I think he certainly has supporters. When he ran for mayor of Moscow about a decade ago, he won about a third of the vote. This could be considered his core constituency. It might grow to be a majority in urban locations like Moscow. You know, there's certainly a hardcore group of supporters who really admire him that number in the hundreds of thousands, perhaps. There are people who support him and want him out. And then there are also people who think it's an injustice, even if they don't support him politically, that he's locked up. There are certainly Russians waiting for him to be freed.
Based on your reporting, does he pose the biggest threat to date to Vladimir Putin's hold on power?
He has been the most outspoken opponent of using electoral politics to change Russia's direction, to change Russia's domestic and foreign policies, and is very public in everything he does. And I think he's the most prominent figure in that category. Navalny, in the interview, he also raised the possibility of infighting that might change the government. Putin is now in his fifth term as leader and has recently changed the constitution to stay in power until 2036. And so it's hard to predict the future. But one issue that Navalny himself raises is that the change wouldn't come through electoral politics, but through some sort of elite infighting or power struggle. It's a greater risk, or this other potential outcome is a greater risk. It might be hard to judge. It's a remarkable situation that you have the most prominent political opposition leader in Russia in prison. And it's a really unfortunate statement about what happened to Russian democracy in the post-Soviet period, that there was this hope that the country would become freer and more pluralistic. And then here we are with the most outspoken opponent of the Russian president in prison. So there's been a long path for Russian democracy. You know, now is not a good time for that effort of reform and change in the post-Soviet politics of Russia.